It took 4 years, 6 volumes, 5,437 pages, and a billion rand, but the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture has finally been completed. The process started when former public protector Thuli Madonsela recommended to then-President Jacob Zuma to set up a commission. Chief Justice Raymond Zondo then handed over the names of those who should be investigated and considered for prosecution on charges that include fraud, theft, bribery, money laundering, and flouting the Public Finance Management Act. We discussed the way forward with Outer CEO Wayne Duvenage and anti-corruption activist at Open Secrets, Hanny van Veeren. Wayne, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning. Nice to be with you today.
And Hanny, a very good morning to you as well. Welcome.
Good morning, Salam, and good morning to the listeners.
Well, I suppose the two big questions is, was it all worth it and the way forward? Let's start with the first one. Wayne, in your opinion, 1 billion rand, 4 years, was it worth it?
Absolutely. It took a bit longer than we thought, but 1 billion rand in the context of what has been stolen from this country and what has happened is nothing really when you think about it. But what is more important is that this is a formal judicial process. So the evidence that has been gathered, the interviews, the cross-examinations, all of this stuff is such good information and very important for the rule of law going forward. It has paved the way. It has fast-tracked some of the process, because you can imagine without this, it would have been, you know, so much hearsay in the past, media statements and that. But what we needed is to get the facts. And from here, the NPA, who could have acted concurrently while this was going on anyway, can utilize this information and move forward quite quickly without having to go through lengthy and time-consuming prosecution processes, which still have to happen in the formal sense of prosecutions and the investigations that have to take place. But so much of that work, that legwork, has now been done. So this is the catalyst for the holding to account of many people who have given rise to this country's demise.
Hanny, your thoughts on the question of whether it was worth it?
Well, Sulaiman, I think as all South Africans, we would like to have cost half the amount of money it did and taken half the time. But when we look at the full extent of the gory details of state capture that have been exposed, the intricacies involving the corporations and the politicians, and knowing that it's not only the Guptas that were involved, I think we have a much better understanding of a system, and a system that's caused massive human rights abuses in our country when we think about the millions of people pushed into poverty as a result of this. So it's not only a question of state capture costing the country tens of billions of rand, it's the human impact that we can't even measure. So from that perspective, I think an incredibly important process for us to establish the basic facts, as Wayne has said, to provide an agenda for action and provide us all with a roadmap on the way forward on who and how to hold many of the actors to account. I mean, certainly there are some of those actors who would argue that aren't properly labeled, if you like, for further investigation and prosecution, Suleiman, but the Commission goes quite far in putting forward that agenda for accountability, and I think that gives us all something to continue working with in the years ahead. And most significantly, I think it has helped at least to some extent to break the aspects of the cycle of impunity. The same people won't be able to come back and do the same things as quickly as they wish to. And I think that's why, you know, the next steps are now really important, to ensure that accountability isn't only about some kind of a revenge for these crimes. It's about ensuring that these people, these corporations, these institutions don't harm South Africans again in the way that they have during the years of state capture.
Yeah, so coming to the second part of what people are asking, that is the way forward, what happens next. Are you concerned, Wayne, about the lack of capacity within the NPA? So we've spent 1 billion rand, it's taken 4 years, we've got a 5,000-page report. How many of these people implicated will actually end up legally and criminally facing the music?
Well, that's a matter of time, but... You know, I think the biggest question we've got to start asking is, how do we prevent the country from slipping into this situation again? And it came out very clearly in the final report with Zonda, where we have the State Security Agency who gathered a lot of information on what was going down, but they were interfered with. So we need to ensure that the powers are put in place to prevent this manipulation and the conduct of a person like the president in power who is going to be able to, you know, influence what is going on. I think what we do need to do is make sure the positions of leadership in our various organizations, specifically Chapter 9 organizations, as well as SOEs, that we do not allow the political meddling and interference that has taken place. We need to have more civil society input and say in the boards of SOEs and the Chapter 9 institutions. I think if we can separate the powers of where the abuse takes place from a political point of view and administration, and ensure that we have the capacity and cater deployment came out as a big problem. And I think if we now look at some of the recommendations that are also coming out in the from the report, is how do we stop this situation where political parties elect and put in place into parliament, because parliament was asleep at the wheel, that came through very strongly. How do we stop the situation where political appointments and MPs put party before the country? And the whole electoral reform process that is unfolding right now, where parliament has dragged their feet, the Constitutional Court gave 2 years and they've missed that deadline, another 6 months. It's been extended now for them to get the electoral reform done and put in place to meet the constitutional needs of putting people into positions of power. And yet nothing is taking place there. So if we can fix that, if we can ensure that electoral reform happens and that we can have more oversight from civil society's perspective, I think we'll go a long way in preventing what has happened from happening again. But, yeah, we need to see the prosecutions, and I think the NPAs, which is undercapacitated, by the way, still needs to, you know, deal with what has to be done. It cannot, allow this report to gather dust. So it's going to take time. They've already started. There's a lot happening, but it needs to happen a lot faster.
Now, Hanny, what did you make of the Jacob Zuma Foundation's press briefing over the weekend? They challenging this report.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you're not going to, Suleiman, you're not going to bring a mafia to a seat by being gentle. And I think that there's going to be a very strong fight back campaign, led obviously by Mr. Zuma and his son, who has presidential aspirations and political aspirations of his own. But there's a bigger part of that criminal network, which are clearly the Guptas themselves in the UAE, who are going to be fighting their extradition. And I think let's clearly add this as well, Suleiman, the big banks, the corporations, the auditing companies, they were largely let off the hook by the Zondo Commission. I think rightly so, we need to recognize the good work the Zondo Commission has done. But what it didn't do, it didn't give us an agenda for accountability when it comes to the corporations. It basically says, we know that the banks and others were used to move money around the world for money laundering purposes. Go and ask them to return the money. Well, you know, it's a bit of a problem when you have an accomplice to the crime that you need to go and treat in such a gingerly kind of fashion. So those are certainly shortcomings. But I think, you know, when your question around who's going to hold all of these actors to account, it's absolutely NPA. I think what Ben was saying now, Suleiman, is important. There's a longer term game we need to look at. It's institutional reform, it's making institutions work, changing the system, dealing with issues of cadre deployment. But when we look specifically at our capacity to hold elites to account, the NPA needs to be front and center together with the law enforcement agencies like the Hawks. And very clearly, I think they don't have the capacity, and they quite frankly don't have the interest to do it, Suleiman. I think it's time for us to start talking tougher about these institutions. Advocate Shamila Batoy has had more than 3 years in her position. She has only a handful of cases to show. They almost bungled the extradition of the Guptas, and it's very clear they were showed profoundly. Just unfortunately, I think, between them and the Hawks and others in ensuring the speedy return, or the speedy arrest, rather, of the Guptas as a first step. And I think that sends the wrong kind of signal. And this argument about a lack of capacity at some point must come to an end. Now, the National Director goes to Parliament every year. She says the same thing. The Minister of Justice says more or less the same thing. either these politicians and the heads of these institutions are very well paid, must do their jobs and secure the people that they need, or they need to resign because they say that, you know, the politicians who need to give them the budget are refusing to do so. And it's an either or. I see at the moment they are placeholders in positions of extreme power and influence in our country, and we need to see them being acting vigorously. So the next month are going to be crucial tests for the NPA. It can no longer muddle through in the way it has, and I think that its leadership, the head of its leadership, must be on the block if they fail us in this process.
Now, Wayne, what do you make about the extent to which President Ramaphosa has been implicated in the report, that he didn't act with adequate urgency to stop state capture when he was deputy president, that he cannot claim ignorance in as far as his own donors for the CR17 campaign is concerned, amongst other things? There seems to be two opinions. There are those who feel that we should go lightly on him because if he was to be removed from the occasion, the equation, the alternate would be far worse. And then there are others who argue that irrespective of who is to succeed him, if he is to face the consequences, the same principle should be applied.
Yeah, look, absolutely. He also needs to be held accountable. One cannot pardon or look away from his role. But I guess it's a lot more complex than that. Let's put it this way, had the President or Deputy President Ramaphosa at the time spoken up and, raised the concerns that he had, that he needed to at the time, he would no doubt have been removed, probably wouldn't have got into the current role he's in at the 2017 ANC elections. And who knows where we would be today. That doesn't mean to say that he should be pardoned. He needs to answer the questions and he needs to be held accountable. But there is this concern that, you know, heaven help us if Ramaphosa was removed today and the deputy president had to fulfill the role of the presidency. David Mabuza is in court right now on a civil matter, a billion rand case against him and his conduct while he was premier in Mpumalanga. So there's a lot of dynamics here. I think what it has highlighted, though, is that the system of the ANC, its cadre deployment and its appointments of people into positions of power, all the MPs, that's what we were saying earlier on, in the whole election process, we don't even know who is going to represent us in parliament under the current system, under the current party system, which appoints its people in the back rooms of Luthuli House, in the case of ANC's leadership. We cannot have that. We need to know who we are voting for when it comes to putting people into MPs into parliament. We need change. We need reform in this whole electoral process. But, the president right now and everybody within the ANC looked away for so many years and allowed state capture to take place under their noses. It's just diabolical that we are sitting in this situation today. We are a country that is punching so far below its weight. It has such prosperity, potential prosperity, and we're languishing now, and poverty just gets worse. More people have slipped into poverty than out of poverty under this current leadership for the last 25 years. So hopefully this is the catalyst for big, meaningful change. We have, you know, elections coming up in the ANC in December. That's going to, you know, bring a lot of stuff to the fore. But the biggest issue is what happens in 2024. If we don't get electoral reform right, we'll just repeat the same mess that we're in, and that we should never allow.
Finally then, Henny, you know, there's been talk that President Zuma, when he was compelled to set up this inquiry, he broadened the scope. And as a result of that, many more people have been implicated. And they are those who opine that the ANC as a party has significantly been delegitimized. Would you agree with that analysis?
Well, I think they've been delegitimized, Suleiman, as a political party, by the actions of leadership. And I think it's that collective leadership which has failed. When we look at, any number of issues where, you know, consider, for example, the role of PRASA, the responsibility of a public rail agency to take workers to work every morning. It was Paul Molefe, who was the chairperson of PRASA, who not only spoke to government, but spoke to the ANC top six leadership directly to say, there's a massive corruption problem here, and these folks are going to destroy PRASA. That was simply ignored by Jacob Zuma, by Cyril Ramaphosa, by Jesse Duarte and the other members of the top six of the ANC leadership. And I think that that undermined the integrity of the organization, and that's why we see the troubles that that political party has, even at a branch level. And quite frankly, this issue of internal party democracy and integrity within political parties is a problem right across the board in the country's political parties right now. So I think the ANC has been undermined by these actions. And I think we should be reminded, we're going back to the question around President Ramaphosa, if a man who is a billionaire, Sulaiman, and who is sitting in cabinet and is the deputy president of the country, doesn't frankly have the guts to speak up when the cooks are robbing the country blind and pushing people into poverty, then people like that need to question whether they are fit to run the country or prove to the people that they are able to run the country, and do that by removing all of the various nodes of corruption within our politics and challenging the corporations who profited from state capture. And that we haven't seen effectively from the leadership of President Cyril Ramaphosa. So, you know, I really think it's a make or break period for him and his administration before those elections in 2024 to say they are going to make a difference now. Or if not, quite frankly, they will very well, I think, be seen as not a continuation of the process of state capture, but in a way an enabler who did not allow the cleanup to take place when it should have.
Hanny and Wayne, we thank you both for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. All the best.
Have a great day.
Thank you
very much. CEO of OUTA, Wayne Duvenage, and anti-corruption activist at Open Secrets, Hanny van Vieren, both joining us for the Monday morning discussion around the twofold question. Was the state capture inquiry worth it? 1 billion rand, 4 years, 5,000 pages, and the second part, the more important part, where to from here?